This is F1 Debrief 2009 Side Poddy Awards. Coming up on today's show, we hand out the awards for various best and worst performances throughout the 2009 season. Here we are again.
Once more.
Yes.
Second time this weekend.
I'm sure we were here yesterday doing this exact same thing.
People must be sick to death of us.
Yeah, at least we've got something different this time.
You're looking a bit green on the live stream.
I am.
For anybody listening at home with audio only, you're not going to get the full picture of this, I don't think, because the studio has become Santa's little grotto for the evening.
We've got lights, we've got ribbons.
And you're wearing a dress.
I'm wearing a dress. It's crazy.
For no other reason, it's worth anybody who hasn't got the live show seeking out the live replay. Because Christine, on the internet, in a dress.
Because we are in the middle of our SidePod Christmas party. We are live streaming all kinds of frivolity. And at the same time, we're recording our annual SidePoddy Awards podcast.
Oh, yes. So is this the third year?
It is.
Wow.
3 years, it's becoming a tradition. So we do have a show to do.
Okay, then.
And we'd better get on. Good week, bad week. It's been a good week for Scott, who has work experience at the classic Team Lotus. He's only been there a week or so and has met Jarno Trulli and spotted Martin Brundle as well.
So, so jealous.
I know. I did my work experience in a factory.
I know. I don't even think I wasn't there that day.
You didn't do it.
No.
It's been a bad week for Alex and Catherine because we all turned up at their house for the SidePod party and I think we left it in a bit of a mess.
We didn't offer to clean up.
No.
It just dawned on me.
We just
left. Thanks for hosting our party. Bye!
It was the geekiest party ever. We played on the Wii and live streamed and Skyped and generally had an awesome time.
It was great. It was geeky, but I loved every minute of it.
It's been a good week for Lou, Lukey and Emily as they bumped into Michael McIntyre whilst walking around London. How cool is that? They went up and spoke to him and everything. Apparently he was a very nice man.
Perfect. And I believe he plugged his DVD.
Did he?
Yeah. It's exactly what you'd want from Michael McIntyre.
That's brilliant.
Extra pluggage.
It's been a bad week for Tom G, who had to duck out of our live show yesterday to take his dog for a walk. Apparently he slipped on some ice, landed on his back and broke his tailbone.
What?
That's terrible.
Oh my goodness me. See, what he should have done is stayed and watched the live show. He would have been safe.
Outside is dangerous.
Tom G, get better soon. What a way to spend Christmas.
Side parties. Welcome to the 2009 Side Poddy Awards, where we cast our eyes over the season just past and reward those who did well and those who clearly didn't, including ourselves. It's been quite the year, so I think there'll be some surprises during tonight's ceremony. This is our third annual awards event, and we'd better get it started. Let's kick off with our first award, the Foot in Mouth Award.
Okay.
The nominees are Flavio Briatore discussing the new Braun GP team. He called Rubens a pensioner and Jensen essentially as slow as a milepost. I wonder if he's eating his words now they are double champions and he is, well, banned. Rubens Barrichello for his infamous blah, blah, blah moment after the German Grand Prix. He was not at all happy with his team.
No, I don't want to talk to anybody in the team because I don't want to understand. There will be a lot of blah, 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 and I don't want to hear that.
Martin Blabbermash, who couldn't keep a secret if he tried several times at key silly season moments through the year, he let slip important information or wouldn't say anything but had a giant grin on his face. Particularly, he was trying to confirm Alonso at Ferrari to get the driver's market moving.
Gets my vote.
And Mr. C, who managed to kill off Ringo Starr during one of our live shows.
I didn't mean it. No.
I have proof.
No, I didn't mean it. I take it back. I didn't. No, that's not fair. But, yeah, they replaced Ringo Starr because he died. I would like to add one nominee to this award just in order to make sure that I don't walk away with it. Rob Smedley for calling Felipe a baby during, was it Malaysian Grand Prix? And he launched a hit single.
Well, it was a phenomenon. Not the single, the whole Felipe baby thing.
Yes. So I would like to personally, I think Rob Smedley should get the nomination for putting his foot in his mouth.
And the winner is Mr. C. It's about time you won an award on one of these shows. I think you've been nominated a few times, but it is for being a murderer.
There's to be that one. Yeah. Forget I said it. I take it back.
Next up, the Passing the Buck Award. We've had a lot of It Wasn't Me, It Was You this year, and this award is to reward the best at passing the buck. The nominees are Romain Grosjean, as he was more than happy to blame Jenson Button for punting him off the track on the first lap of the Belgian Grand Prix, despite the fact that Romain ran into the back of JB.
Boom.
I can see his point. Perhaps it was Button's fault for being that far back on the grid. Maybe.
I blame Button.
Jarno Trulli, of course, for bringing holiday snaps of an accident with Sutil to an FIA press conference to try and blame poor Adrian. How embarrassing. Jamie Alguersuari for bringing his car into the pit lane during the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix and pulling to a stop at the wrong pit box. He came in outside the Red Bull garage and blamed his own team for not being ready whilst the RBR mechanics were out and waiting for their car. Lewis Hamilton for lying to the stewards in Australia and trying to pass the blame of the incident to Trulli and Toyota. I'm surprised he didn't have photographic evidence of that, to be honest. As ever, the truth will out, and Luham had to hold a press conference admitting his guilt. And the winner is Jaime Alguersuari. Sadly, he is not here to accept his award because the chances are I didn't spell his name right on the invitation.
I don't think he answers to the name of Tim. Ah. That could be the issue.
Our third award is for the best drive by a French driver in a French team during an international sports car race with a broken leg.
How many possible nominees can there be for this award?
Well, there's Frank.
One, isn't it?
There's Frank.
You're just making up an award to give to Frank.
Okay, well, I'll tweak this award then.
Okay.
How about the nicest driver who remembered Christine on the internet and signed a poster for her via Steve, the brilliant American listener?
Let's move on.
Oh, but it's Frank. Well, our third award wasn't very successful then, but this is our fourth award, the worst comeback. There are four nominees for this, the first being quite an obvious one. Michael Schumacher for getting quite a lot of people's hopes up and ruining quite a lot of other people's years, but then deciding that perhaps the time wasn't quite right for a comeback after all. Quite literally a pain in the neck.
Boo!
Sebastian Bourdais was fired from Toro Rosso but made a grand comeback in the Super League Formula, winning a couple of races. It's not really a grand comeback though, is it? Because what is the Super League Formula?
I think he made a lot of money.
Did
that's,
he?
That's the only good thing to say about that.
Me, I'm up for this award for my shoddy attempt at keeping up with Side Podcast Diaries. Last year, we had a comeback of just one show, and this year, I thought I'd do much better, but there were just nine.
That counts as an improvement.
It's not so bad. I mean, it took us to May.
That's, well, I didn't know it went on that long, actually. Yeah. It felt much shorter.
Next year, I'll have to try again.
Sure.
And the final nominee is Ferrari again with Luca Badoa and his big F1 comeback. He previously drove in 1999 and 10 years later, he had another chance behind the wheel, but he blew it. He was slow, whiny, slow, a bit grumpy, slow and always last. Did I mention he was slow?
If he doesn't get this award, I'm going to eat my own hat.
And the winner is Luca Badoa. He's not here to accept his award because Ferrari won't let him drive anywhere ever again and he's had to take the bus. This award is for the best sporting injury. Now, this is something a bit more serious because injury is no laughing matter. We had some very scary accidents this year and we don't want to make light of a moment like Massa's, but it is tradition for Side Podcast to celebrate the sporting injury. Last year, it was the Juan Pablo Montoya Award for worst sporting injury outside of a Formula One car, but we've made it a bit more snappy this year. No pun intended. Here goes. The nominees are Mark Webber. Technically, his broken leg was last year, but I love the fact that he kept his broken collarbone from the team and we didn't find out until midway through the season. Plus, there were all those pictures of the man's recovery.
Ugh.
Some of them were a bit much.
Yuck. Martin Brundle. Topless. Ugh.
Frank Montagny, who inadvertently broke his leg whilst training for the Le Mans 24-hour race.
Let it go.
He did really well and came second, but I am still secretly mad at him for the missed opportunity. How well would he have done if he hadn't had a broken leg?
Exactly the same because the car broke. The wheel fell off and then they had a problem that sort of killed about half an hour, didn't it? Is that what happened? I think he would have been in exactly the same position.
Timo Glock, who was off sick with a fever and then had an accident which injured his leg and his back. That is quite an eventful weekend for the young German. He was ultimately replaced by Kobayashi, although Toyota weren't exactly convincing when it came to what was wrong with him. And finally, Mr. Schumacher and his non-comeback again, his second nomination in a row. Did you ever think Schumi would feature in our award show?
No.
No, me neither. And the winner is Frank Montagny.
Oh, for goodness sake.
He's not here to accept his award because I would much rather go and deliver it to him personally.
Rubbish. You can't get anywhere near the man. You're scared witless.
Shut up.
I have to go and talk to him. Can you sign a poster to Christine, please? True story.
Shut up. Now, we are on to the name-dropping award. And actually, this is really just an award for us.
Okay.
There aren't any nominees, but we just wanted to name drop a little bit.
I have never name dropped anybody. I don't know what you're talking about.
Celebrate the people that we met this year. Because
nope,
we didn't we didn't go to an enormous amount of F1 events.
I didn't meet anyone.
But we did manage to bump into quite a lot of people.
Oh, no, I know where we did meet.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not going to be in it again, is he?
What?
The Frenchman with a broken leg.
Frank was in there, yes. But also, we met Mark Webber.
We met Mark Webber first. He's the first person we met at the beginning of the year.
Yep. You shook hands with Ted Kravitz.
I did. Affinity.
Yeah. David Croft, obviously.
My hero. Also, well, actually, probably Ted is my hero. Ooh, that's a tough one.
Wow. Joe Saywood.
Yes.
Naturally, we do a podcast with him. We've met him.
Met him twice.
Simon Gillette, who you elbowed out the way to get to Joe.
I did not elbow Simon Gillette. Have you seen how big that man is? I simply tapped him gently on the... I wouldn't. He's huge. I tapped him gently on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me, Simon, can we speak to Joe? Because we're in a hurry. Sorry."
And we still got dragged away afterwards as well.
Not by him, though. He's a big man.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to mess with a guy.
And I think he was wearing a leather jacket, which is even scarier.
He looked like one of the Bay City Rollers.
We met Frank, like you said, and we met Rob Smedley.
Oh, we did meet Rob Smedley.
Yeah.
This is what the award's about, really, isn't it?
Really?
Well, actually, I'll tell you who's not on this list. We met the guy, Gino, from Ferrari, who's no longer with Ferrari and is apparently not a well-liked person.
No.
We saw him in the Ferrari motorhome.
There's a reason I left him off the list.
I see. Okay. So, okay, with all that name dropping, who does the award go to? What's the biggest name we've managed to drop this year?
No, the award goes to us for name dropping.
Okay. Oh, fair enough. Well, who is the biggest name that we've met?
It depends. The biggest name, I don't know. Mark Webber, I guess, maybe?
It's got to be Rob.
Rob.
My vote goes to Rob.
The nicest man was Rob.
I think the only person on this list that I've met that you haven't is Frank Montani. As you were cowering behind the pillar.
I didn't get to meet Ted. I just saw you shake his hand from a distance.
That's fair enough.
I wouldn't want to barge in on the affinity.
You'd ruin the vibe.
In the comments, Startle Bunnies pointed out that someone waved at a McLaren driver.
No.
That happened.
Forget it happened. I didn't mean to do it. It was a long... It's not the same as meeting someone. So what if he waved back?
Moving on to the Best Use of Music Award. Music is very important in Formula One. I know that Journeyer spent a long time compiling playlists of the music used on the highlight packages on F1.com.
And on the BBC.
Yeah. It can make the difference between something credible and something laughable. Here are the nominees for the Best Use of Music this year. The BBC, Bringing Back the Chain. We knew this was going to be a good move, and it really, really was. But I find myself listening to the original song and wondering how they ever thought it would make a good theme tune.
That's a fair point. To be honest with you, I listened to the original song and think, how did anyone think this would make a good song?
That's true. Also true. Felipe Baby, but no, I'm not winning the award for
You've
that.
You've nominated yourself?
No. The Chinese GP organisers for playing the British national anthem when Red Bull won their very first race.
Ooh.
Oops.
I forgot that.
Yeah. And... Jensen Button for a dodgy rendition of We Are the Champions.
Seriously dodgy.
Obviously when
But respect for trying.
When he won the championship. And the winner is The Chain by Fleetwood Mac.
I disagree. I would like to overruled judge's decision. I think Jensen...
Who made you the judge?
And the jury.
Okay.
And the executioner. That's my role.
Not the chain then?
Not well, I would have had Jensen Button for singing in the cockpit because we don't get enough singing in the cockpit. We need more of that from drivers. More out of tune and overexcited celebrations at the end of races, please.
Good job I didn't invite them then, innit?
You don't deserve it. It should be Jensen's.
In the comments, Alianora's pointed out that actually Fernando Alonso has done We Are the Champions already.
I've forgotten all about this. Jensen Button, the big stealer.
Yeah.
We can't
doing
give
a cover
him
version, he is. Of a cover version.
Of yes.
Yeah.
But there you go. More singing from the cockpit. No, I can't criticise Fernando for that. And therefore,
does your overall still stand then?
I'm confused. I've confused myself with my own overrules.
Okay.
Where do we get to?
Not the chain?
I don't mind. Yeah, I think it's going to have to be the chain now. I think, yeah, I was completely wrong and you should just give the award to the person you intended to. I rescind my over.
You're a rubbish judge.
Yes.
Naturally, it is only right to have an award based on some kind of physical appearance thing. And in this instance, it is the Best Beard Award. We've seen beards come and go this year, and many of them haven't necessarily been advisable. Here are the nominees. Jensen Button has been sporting a bit of stubble for a long time now, but it seems to have disappeared now that he's working for McLaren. I think that was predicted, wasn't it?
We expected that. In the comments, Startled Bunny said, is Frank going to win this one? Just before you continue.
He is not nominated, no.
Okay. He did have a bit of stubble.
Well, perhaps I'll put him in there as a
There's a late entry.
Last minute nomination. Frank Montagny, thanks for that. also, Rubens Barrichello had a bizarre beard midway through the year. Thankfully, it didn't last that long because I didn't think that looked very good.
Nope.
Sebastian Vettel grew a beard and said he wouldn't shave it off until he won another race.
Oh, I forgot that.
He won twice towards the end of the year, but I would have been intrigued to see what happened if he never won again.
I half believe that he came up with that plan simply because he finally learnt how to grow a beard.
Really?
And was just so proud of it, he just wanted a reason to grow one.
He was just showing off.
Mm.
It's interesting that you've come up with Frank, because I'd actually run out of beards. So I had Kimi Raikkonen as my last nominee.
He didn't have a beard.
No, but he grew his hair quite long and it seemed to fit the award.
That's some massive sideburns right there.
It was a bit mullet-like.
Okay.
But now that Kimi doesn't need to be in it because I've got Frank instead, yes. So that's good.
Okay. Seeing as you've had one free late entry, can I add one more?
Go on.
Ted Kravitz. He went karting with the BBC guys and Jake twit-picked a picture of...
Twit-picked?
Twit-picked.
Is that the verb now?
I can't think what else it might be. He twit-picked a picture of Ted karting with a full set of facial hair.
Yeah, it was
like
quite
the
fierce,
full-on
wasn't it?
Beard. Not a big fan of it, but I think it should be mentioned and we shouldn't let the Kravitz beard just be ignored.
Fair enough. The winner is Jenson Button. Unfortunately, he is not able to be here to accept his award because he's still celebrating picking up his FIA trophy.
I'm surprised he's not still singing.
I think that one would be much better than our trophy because we don't actually have a trophy.
Did he borrow that trophy from Fernando Alonso too?
We are rattling through these awards. We are on to the Best Nickname Award. Let's get straight on with the nominees. It wouldn't be fair to have the Best Nickname Award without mentioning Felipe Baby, I suppose. The now infamous clip from Malaysia with Rob Smedley telling his Felipe Baby to stay cool. During some footage ahead of a session, we spotted a sticker on Vettel's car saying Kate's dirty sister, which confused us all for a while. It turns out the youngster names his cars and he had trashed Kate, so it was all down to her sister to do the work. Which she did. He won the race.
Yay.
Hedgehog De La Rosa.
A new one.
Is quite a recent one. Overheard by Nick when we went to the Mercedes-Benz live event. And I love it.
Even though he looks nothing like a hedgehog.
No.
But you're going to make it stick.
He doesn't look much like a pedalo either, though,
to be honest. Yep.
And finally, all the nicknames we came up with at the Young Driver Test, including Disco Dan, Topsy, Gloria Esteban, and Delicious. And the winner is the Young Driver Test nicknames.
Is that a group win?
Yes.
How are they going to collect that? What are you going to do, split it into pieces?
Well, there is no one here to accept that award because that's a lot of people and we couldn't afford the travel expenses.
Let's be honest, there is no one here.
No, it's just us. Actually, in the comments, there appear to be a lot of calls for Tim to be getting the...
Tim.
Yeah.
Jaime.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
Because he also is called many other things. RG calls him Lemon and Limey.
Right.
And I know like he has several other nicknames.
Yes.
So
Pondawi.
So perhaps the comments will overrule me on this one.
I like the sound of that. The comments should always overrule you on everyone. They've set a precedent, they.
We are on to our penultimate award
so
now.
So soon.
I do like award ceremonies that don't last for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, that's true. Can we insult the veal yet?
I think perhaps we should. This is the Blind Optimism in the Face of Common Sense Award.
What?
There have been a lot of foolish schemes proposed this year, and most of the time the perpetrators just don't seem to understand how silly they appear. These are the nominees. Bernie Ecclestone for his medal scheme. He proposed the idea of a gold, silver and bronze for the top three finishers to really encourage winning. Although the idea had a little bit of support, generally it was perceived as a stupid idea. Bernie didn't seem to think so though. Ari Vatanen for almost looking like he could be a successful candidate. He certainly had us fooled to start with, but more and more towards the end of his campaign, it seemed very unlikely he would be able to take over the FIA presidency. Bless him for trying, though.
What's he up to now these days?
That is a good question. The third nominee is FOTA for their harebrained scheme about a breakaway. It all sounded too good to be true, and it only took a few days for the idea to be swept under the carpet as if it never existed. Who's to say how real that threat was? And finally, Flavio Briatore for believing he deserved some Honda prize money to pay for his double diffuser. I have a quote, he said, "Since Braun forces me to spend money I don't have, and since Honda's money has luckily not been shared yet, we'll have a meeting."
I can't say that I miss him.
The winner is Flavio Briatore. Sadly, although really, I think I mean thankfully, he can't be here because possibly he's still in that meeting.
I think he's banned.
Oh, yeah.
He's banned from coming here near anything to do with motorsport ever again.
Now we are on to our final award, and this is the 2009 Successful Change of Job Award. It's quite unusual.
It's an original category. Yeah.
It is a very special award rewarding a member of the F1 fraternity for a successful job transition. It's not easy to stop doing something you've done for a long time and make a change, particularly when it means taking a stand, putting your name out there and your reputation on the line.
Okay.
That's why we have this award and why we have one person in mind for it. Initially, 2009 seemed like it was going to be a difficult transitional year.
Oh, yes.
But after just a short time, it seemed clear that the new lineup in charge were taking things by the scruff of the neck and making it work.
Certainly were.
From a very hands-on role, our nominee took a step back this year, spending more time watching the Formula One goings-on than being completely involved.
Mm-hmm.
His team went from strength to strength.
Didn't they just?
And although there was a bit of a dip towards the end of the year, ultimately, everything went to plan. There was the occasional bit of tension with his colleagues that he had to deal with. But
he dealt with it well.
Yeah, our nominee wouldn't take any nonsense from his fellow men. The role was not something he had always aimed to do, seeing his name in bright lights wasn't part of his career goals.
Really bright lights.
Yeah.
Really bright.
Couldn't get much brighter, really. But potentially, it was the only way to stay in the sport. That is why we are awarding the 2009 Successful Change of Job Award to...
Ross Brawn.
David Coulthard.
What? No! Really? I was sure that was going to Ross Brawn. Why David Coulthard?
Because he changed his job, he did quite well.
His name wasn't in lights.
Well, he was a broadcaster.
Wasn't that bright, though?
I bet his name was in the TV guide. In the comments, Stephen says Jake should have won.
Hear, hear.
Which is actually a lot more obvious.
That was a more severe job change, no question about it.
From a children's TV presenter to serious sports
journalism.
Also,
because not one single person we spoke to prior to this season gave Jake the time of day or any chance of succeeding.
He has done sporting things in the past.
Yeah, but I think he was the back end of all of our jokes. It was, okay, well, David Coulthard will know what he's doing. Eddie Jordan, well, he can't be that bad. Jake, well, that will be a joke. And unfortunately, he proved us all wrong.
I think we
much
got
like
that,
Ross Brawn.
We got that the wrong way around, didn't we? Who was the joke, really?
Yeah, that's true. Well, at some point we should really look at what we did get right this year.
That's also true.
Because we got Brawn wrong.
There's a reason.
Got Michael Schumacher wrong.
There's a reason I'm not doing a best of show this year.
Right. It should be the worst of. Everything we thought would happen but didn't happen. Yeah. And we can start right back at the very beginning when the BBC took the rights and we lambasted poor Jake, who did a fantastic job. And you're right. I think he should have that award.
So earlier today, we asked for some awards from the commenters for the commenters.
Okie dokie. So in custom
handing awards. Out awards to each other for being wonderful.
It's not like they spent the whole evening questioning your judgment and overruling your decisions as it is.
No.
They're now writing their own awards for you.
They are. So firstly, we've got Lukey, who said he should have been FIA President of the Year award to Stephen Roy.
Do you know what? I would back Stephen for FIA President.
Yeah.
I would do that. I second that ruling.
Then we've got Lou, who said, most initiative use of iPhone streaming. Winner, Mr. C for taping an iPhone to his chest.
Yes, I can. I did my best.
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah, fair enough.
You say most initiative.
It was nothing to do with me, really. Catherine
no.
did it.
Yeah. Not sure Mr. C should get any award for that. What else have we got? F1 presenter of the decade, Jake Humphrey over Jim Rosenthal and Steve Ryder, which is obviously not a commenter, but that's an interesting award.
Seconded.
We did already give Jake Humphrey
someone else's
an award that I wasn't,
David's award. Yes.
Wasn't happy about there. But next, we have an award from RG, and it is the loudest scream of the year, and that is when Lou met Jensen.
Lou didn't scream, though.
How do you know? Were you there?
No, she blogged it.
Ah.
She blogged it and she said, I didn't scream. I was amazed that I heard myself talking and discovered that I was talking to Jensen, even though I didn't know that I was talking to him.
She is braver than me because I won't even go near Frank.
I would give Lou the award for Scream of the Year for when Jensen was confirmed world champion in Brazil, because I do believe that was quite a loud scream and continued for several days.
Yes. Afterwards, Steve and Roy did add that other nominees for the loudest scream of the year would be Lou meeting Jensen's dad, which we did hear a voicemail about in the show.
Fact.
Lou when Jensen won the first race, and Lou when Jensen won the championship.
So I think she's walked that one.
Either way, Lou wins it. We've also got another one from RG. He said, legend of the year, Mr. C. But then he follows it up with, oops, forgot about Timo. So actually, you're the secondary legend of the year, which is quite possibly my most favourite award ever.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Yeah. We also have an award from Kimster, who has the Heikki Kovalainen Appreciation Award.
Right.
Got to be Amy, hasn't it? Although we do have Emily as well.
Emily is a close contender.
Yeah.
But Amy is more vocal. And I think I'd give it to Emily just because Amy gave up on Heikki when there was a sniff of a chance of Kimi Raikkonen making it back to McLaren.
There is a small amount of fickleness, but I can appreciate that, being quite fickle myself as well.
Okay, I would say that Emily stuck with Heikki Kovalainen through all the tough times, and and she was awarded for not being so fickle. And I think Amy was slightly shot in the foot for hoping for a Kimi return, and he went off rallying.
Lukey has come up with an award as well, and it says, how does he write so much award to Joe?
Yes.
Now, actually, he's done quite a good pun because it says, how does he write so much Sayward award to Joe? But I think that only works in text.
Yes. I mean, I think Joe is deserving of many awards from us because he's just a fantastic chap and I love him to bits. I would say, though, that Stuart is a close contender for how the hell does he write so much award, having a blog for 16 days and writing 16 posts.
It's getting that way, isn't it?
That is quite scary. I'm struggling to keep up with either of them, and they're both awesome. I would like to propose one final user award from the comments. I will be in the comments, hypothetically speaking, and I would like to give this award to Mrs. Christine for presenter, editor, producer, blogger, writer, and consumer of 1,000,001 podcasts of the year, because you're just awesome and you deserve an award for something. And I can't really pick one, so I'm going to pick all of them. I'm just going to give you an award for being Christine on the internet.
Lukey has added Best Christine of the Year Award.
There you go. You are the best Christine that I've ever met. Have we given out enough awards now?
I think we've done the awards now.
Okay.
I think we've given out more than we ever have before.
That's, well, we're generous.
I think
generous.
We lost control a little we bit are, as well.
Yes, but we are generous people who like to give. That's what it is. What are we moving on to? What else have we got on our show tonight?
Well, there's some kind of singing coming up.
Is that next?
I think it must be.
Okay. Should we get people on the Skype call?
Yeah.
Let's do it. This is the 2009 Side Podcast Christmas Carol. It's Jingle Bells with a Difference. Last year, we performed a fantastic rendition of The 12 Days of Christmas. I suspect this one may not go quite as well, but fingers crossed. On the line, we have In Tears, by the sound of it, which is never a good sign. Do we have Gavin?
We have Gavin.
We have RG.
Hey.
We have Mr. Stephen Roy.
Yes, we have.
We have Chris.
Hello.
We have Andy.
Hello.
All the way from Wales, we have Lukey.
Oh, hello.
From up north, we've got Scott.
Hello. I'm not in the north, but carry on.
And I'm more north than he is.
and via Denmark, via the landline, we have Alia.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Wonderful. Okay, this is the Soy Podcast rendition of Jingle Bells, or F1 Bells.
Running fast and low
in a sponsorless machine.
And hopers have the glow
of winners, not has-beens.
No one thought when they were born
that nightmares turn to dreams.
Jensen wins, Rosberg wins, champions all the way.
But Big Run comes a-calling
and steals the one away.
Hey, work out class at the last.
Rosberg's on the way.
Robert looks a big surprise and finds out some PK. Driving through a rouge.
We should put that on the floor.
The button label cares, and
Giancarlo is no more.
He had his ups and downs.
In 09, Rubens got far.
Wins and podiums you left for about.
Blah, 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 blah.
Champions all the way.
That bid wrong comes calling.
Don't steal the one away.
Hey!
The Rosberg's on the way.
Norbert works a big surprise.
Sounds like some PK. Oh, Jensen wins.
Rosberg wins. Champions all the way.
But Big Run comes calling.
And steals them one away.
Hey! Look across at a loss.
The Rosbergs on the way.
Norbert works a big surprise.
And signs Nelson PK.
Hey! Gavin, thank you for hosting this call.
No problems, mate.
You make a wonderful Kathy.
And Glee, you to
thank
Alan.
Thank you very much.
There's a what?
Glee, you to Alice. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Oh, thank you, Gavin.
Merry Christmas to everybody inside Podland.
Cheers, Alan.
Merry Christmas.
Before we go, I have a Christmas present for you.
Okay.
I'm not in trouble. I haven't done anything wrong. But I would like to give you this as a token of my gratitude for the work you've given this year. I'm not expecting anything in return. I haven't wrapped it up.
That's good, because I didn't get you anything.
That's quite all right. I think that you deserve this. So this is a giant Milky Bar. And I just want you to know that I don't only give them to you when I'm in trouble, when I've done something wrong.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
My gift to you is one Milky Bar for being wonderful.
It is a giant one, though.
Yes. Please enjoy it. And the other thing we want to mention is all this year we've been asking people to transcribe some of our shows. We have a backlog of a huge amount of text, a huge amount of words that need transcribing to text. And a lot of volunteers have been doing a great job throughout the year. So what we want to do really is reward those people, because there's a lot of work been put in for free. And earlier today we discovered that Cafe Press have got they've got some new items in their store. And so we're quite excited about the new items.
There's
Cafe
a teddy
Press.
Bear.
There's a teddy bear, and there's all sorts of cool little gifts and stuff. So if anybody has transcribed a show in 2009,
we have a list
of everybody who's put the work in, and we're incredibly grateful for that work that they've done. And we will be creating some SciPod gifts before the end of the year, and we will be sending them out to whom they may concern, as a token gratitude, a token, what's the word for it? What's the phrase I'm looking for? As a symbol of our gratitude for the work you put in, because obviously we don't pay anybody for doing this work.
It takes a long time to transcribe things.
Huge amount of work.
I know from experience.
So special SciPodcast gifts for those who have done it, and you won't be able to buy these in the shops. You can only get these as a gift from us. So we just wanted to mention that that's what we'll be doing in the next couple of weeks. And please, if you have been doing transcriptions, please do continue in 2010, because we'll be back, we'll be talking, and we'll be creating more shows that need transcribing.
So this is our last live show of the year.
It's done.
Yeah.
1 year gone.
We have some bits and pieces coming up, and non-live things like best of shows. There will still be some debrief episodes coming out here and there, but this is the last live thing. There'll also be lots going on the blog. We don't really celebrate.
Never ending.
We don't really celebrate Christmas, so we'll be there throughout the holidays.
Are we working Christmas Day?
Probably.
Boxing Day?
Yeah.
New Year's Eve?
Most
New Year's
likely.
Day, just on the site. Yeah. We never go home. Never stops.
You love it.
Absolutely. Thank you. There were some great guest posts we've had recently. Stuart Taylor put out a great guest post. I really, really, really love his work. He's done some illustrations. The first cartoon on Side Podcast that's gone up. And if you haven't seen that, please do check that out, because he's done a great job. And there's all sorts of stuff. We've got loads of drafts and work in progress that will be going up. So please do keep checking back on Side Podcast. There's more to come. We never stop.